So I want to talk to you today about fishing. Show me the picture. Yeah. So if you don't know, that's Ike. He comes to this church, and he was in the first service. And how many know he caught a big fish? Here's what I want to teach about fishing. If you're going to go fishing, you've got to be prepared to... Yeah, that's crazy, huh? You've got to be prepared to put the hook in the water, but watch this. Keep the hook in the water. Look at your neighbor, say, keep the hook in the water. Watch. Why? Because if your hook, this is deep. Are you ready? Look at your neighbor, say, Pastor is really spiritual. If you take the hook out of the water, you won't catch the fish. Look at your other neighbor. See, I told you he was deep. How many know sometimes the deep things of God are very simplistic? They're not complicated. If you raise that hook up out of the water, you won't catch the fish. Now, I asked Ike some questions in the first service, and I'll repeat to you what he said. He said they were up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and he didn't catch this fish until, wow. Yeah, that would have been a good day, huh? He didn't catch the fish until 10 o'clock. I didn't say he reeled it in. He didn't even catch the fish till 10. So what is that? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 6 hours. Now, isn't he glad he waited for the 6 hour? You know what? Or he could have been, you know what, taking the hook out of the water and, you know what, eating a ding dong. Is that not right? See, what am I saying? Here's what I want you to catch today. Well, let me ask Pastor George a couple questions. Pastor George is a fisherman. I think of it. Pastor George is a lot of things. He's a fisherman. He's a fisher for men. And he's a farmer. He has wonderful fruit plants all throughout his house. I mean, outside of his house. A lot of things. But how many times have you gone fishing and maybe it took quite a long time before you catch anything? Has that happened?
Yes. You have to be very patient.
You have to be very patient.
Keep the hook in the water.
Keep the hook in the water.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take it, maybe every hour.
Yeah.
The bait is there.
Yeah.
And then leave it there, but you have to wait sometimes the whole day.
Yeah. So, Pastor, what's your point? How many know I'm really not trying to teach you how to fish? I mean, Pastor, what'd you learn in church? Pastor taught us how to fish. No, I'm using an analogy to say this. There's many times, listen, that you have the Word of God, but you, through two things, we'll go over it, through time and circumstance, you decide to take your hook out of the water. Watch this. And you catch nothing. And then it's ironic because many times then we look up at heaven and say, hey, you know, it's God's fault. And God is speaking to you and I today, and he has this simple message. If you want to catch a fish, keep your hook in the water. Keep your hook in the water. How many know if we had a four-year-old, a six-year-old, and an eight-year-old here? How many have young kids? Okay, you're going to know what I'm talking about right away. And you tell them, hey, in 20 minutes, we're going to have a pizza. There's going to be pizza here. They have your words. How many know those kids in about 2 minutes are going to say, what are they going to say? Is a pizza here yet? There was a time when these little kids wanted to come to Jesus. Do you remember this story? And Jesus, you know what, was tripping out because his apostles were like, hey, I don't want the kids here. Keep them away from Jesus. And it's in that context that Jesus says, let me tell you about the kingdom of God. Nobody's going to come into the kingdom of God unless they come like a little child. Now, I believe very clearly what Jesus is talking about primarily is the simplicity of a child to believe what somebody tells them. See, I think as Christians, I want to raise up. How many want to see the supernatural take place in our lives? Well, if we're going to watch the supernatural, let me ask you again. How many want to see the supernatural take place in your life? How many are tired of things that you can't change by your own power? How many got situations in your life that you can't change by your own power? Amen. And we need God's help. But we've got to start to recognize we have God's help. He's given us his word. And his word can bring change in our life. But in order to do that, you know what we got to do? We got to keep the hook in the water. We've got to not grow weary in doing good. Jesus says, you know what, let me tell you what. You want to see something happen in your life? You want to see the supernatural? You know how the kingdom of God works? Here's how it works. It works that you would act like a child and you would simply believe God. Now that would seem like a pretty simple message, would it not? But in today's day and age, that's revolutionary. You know what? That's like, oh, no, this is simple. This is, and watch this. Pay attention to how much of the word I'm going to teach you today. Because this is throughout the word of God. Where God says, I want you to trust me. Right after that story, right after the story, somebody comes up to Jesus. How many know a lot of people were coming up to Jesus? This guy comes up to Jesus. And here's what he said. He says, God, what must I do to enter the kingdom of God? He says, I've done all this. He names all these commandments that he's done. And Jesus, how many know Jesus knows what you're doing and he knows what you're not doing? Amen. Come on, somebody. How many know God knows what you're doing? He knows what you're not doing. Yeah. Amen. How many know Jesus has a way of wanting to point out to you areas that you need improvement? Okay. How many know that's not a bad thing? That's a good thing. So this guy says, like, I did this. I'm rocking it, all these. And then God says this, here. One thing you lack. I want you to sell all your possessions, give it to the poor. And here's what the Bible says. This guy, after hearing the words of God, here's what he does. He walks away sad. And then Jesus says this. Here's what Jesus says. He says, now he's going to have a coaching moment with the apostles. He's going to stop and say, now, guys, pay attention to this. Here's what I believe God is saying to us now. Pay attention to this. Because it's hard for those people that are rich to enter in the kingdom of heaven. Hard for them to do that. Now, let me tell you what we do in American churches. We hear that, and here's what we do. I'll sit next to you for a minute. Here's what we do. We think, oh, man, yeah, all those crazy rich people, it's hard for them. But you and I, you know, I mean, you gets. We don't got much money, right? You got a lot of money? You got like thousands and thousands in your bank account?
Nope.
Yeah, me neither, man. Ha, that's not even talking to us. Whew. Can I tell you what? I believe that is talking to us. And let me tell you why. Because I think if you live in America, you're probably really, really, really rich. Let me find it. Give me a second. Americans profoundly, this is from the Washington Post. Americans profoundly underestimate how rich they are compared to the rest of the world. So what did they say? The average U.S. resident estimated that the global medium income, individual income, is about $20,000 a year. In fact, the real answer is about one-tenth of that figure, roughly $2,000 per year. Similarly, Americans typically place themselves in the top 37% of the world's income distribution. However, the vast majority of U.S. residents rank comfortably in the top 10%. If you're a resident of America, you are probably in the top 10%. And watch this. Even if you are the poorest amongst us, you're still probably in the top 20%. Do you understand that? But see, we don't see ourselves that way. We don't see ourselves that way. Because what do? We just compare ourselves to Bill Gates. And compared to him, we compare ourselves to Bill Gates and Oprah Winfrey. Those are the rich people. And I would submit to you quite humbly that maybe this passage is speaking to you. Now, what is the issue? Can I tell you what? There's a passage when Jesus tells you what the issue is. Is there something wrong with having wealth? Go like this. No. If there was, there'd be a bunch of people in the Bible in trouble. A bunch of awesome people. Abraham would be in big trouble. Job would be in big trouble. David would be. Solomon, on and on. There'd be a bunch of people. No. Wealth doesn't make you righteous, and wealth, listen to me, somebody, doesn't make you unrighteous. So in this context, here's what Jesus says. Here's what Jesus says. The issue isn't your wealth. You're not having a hard time entering into, and here's what he says, that for the wealthy, he stops and says, you see this guy walking away? Pay attention, because it's hard for wealthy people to enter the kingdom of God. Pastor, why is that? Here's why. Then Jesus tells us. He says, here's why. Because they trust in their wealth. Now, when I read that, I thought, oh my goodness, I believe that's many Americans who will not trust and do what God asked them to do because they are trusting in their wealth. See, do you have the reality to just believe what God says? I want to talk to you today about doing this. Listening and hearing what God says beyond, watch this, what you can see with your eyes, what you can hear with your ears, or many times, you know what causes you to take that hook out of that water? Here's what it is. It's time. The Bible says, don't grow weary. You know why the Bible says, don't grow weary? Because the Bible knows, the Holy Spirit, the person who inspired Paul to write that to Timothy, knew that people grow weary. And I tell you what, the Holy Spirit told me, how many know there's a time to embrace and there's a time to refrain from embracing? Oh, I need a bigger amen than that. How many know there's a time to embrace and there's a time to refrain from embracing? That's what does that mean? There's a time for you to date and there's a time for you not to date. Let me give you a hint. If you're married, it's time for you not to date. You can date your wife. But you understood my point. Matter of fact, I'll brag on Micah for, I called him yesterday, and Micah, this addresses, I love what Micah said. Micah said, I said, did I get a hold of you a bad time? He said, no, it's a good time. He said, I'm just ironing. He says, I've got a date. His wife, of course, his wife. You're funny. In that, okay, but you get my point. There's a time to embrace. There's a time to refrain from embracing. And listen, maybe you're single. You know what? And maybe you're just like, I don't know. I'm so frustrated. Oh, I do. Because you're dating and you shouldn't be dating right now. Listen, just because some gomer asks you out don't mean you have to say yes. Amen. Amen. I'm serious. Just because some, you know, chick asks you out don't mean you have to say yes. And if it's not, listen, just stay in your lane. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But see, many times we just get, oh man, I'm tired, you know, I'm tired of being alone. Oh, really? See, you know what? Here's what you're doing. You're getting weary in doing the right thing. And so here's what you do. You take your hook out of the water, and guess what? You're gonna be out on your own. And you're gonna marry a guy, and in 3 years you're gonna be crying to me. I'm all decked up. He never comes to church. Yeah. Amen. Am I trying to be harsh? No, I'm trying to be real. We've got to be patient and do what God asks us to do. And keep the hook in the water. You know, some people, how many know, there's a study, Washington State did a study on marriage. You know what they noticed? And I'm not saying this all goes this way. Maybe you could relate, maybe you couldn't relate. But they did this study, and when they first got married, they were like, their happiness thing was like way up here. Ah, you complete me. Right? Well, keep on watching the movie, because what they saw is then that happiness chart just got lower and lower and lower and lower and lower and lower. But then what they noticed was about the seventh year, it leveled out. Well, Pastor, that's not good. It's not good because it stayed low for a while. But at some point in time later, it started to rise. But when it would rise, it didn't rise like it lowered a little bit, little bit, little bit. When it started to rise, it started to rise, and the trajectory was just off the charts. You know, sometimes, how many recognize your spouse? How many have been married long enough to recognize your spouse isn't perfect? Okay, see, some of y'all don't even want to raise your hand. Should I raise my hand now? I don't understand what to do. No, come on, you can be honest. You know what? But the reality is, here's what the Bible says. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. How many have been married long enough to know you've got to forgive your spouse more than 338 times? Amen. Amen. But don't forget what the Bible also says, that if you reap bountifully, you'll reap. The Bible says, as you measure it out, that's how it'll be measured back to you. Every time you forgive your spouse, sometimes for things that you have told them explicitly, stop doing that. And they're still doing it. And you think you're justified to go, enough. I had enough. I had enough of this. Really? Because that's what the world will tell us. God says, no, but don't grow weary in doing good. You listen, you want to compare yourself? Start noticing how often I forgave you, Jackson, because it ain't nothing. You think, you know, you want to talk about a big load of forgiveness? It's what I forgave you for. And you put it in perspective. So we have the word of God. Don't grow weary in doing good. Why? Because we get tired. But listen, what does it say? For in due season. Go back to the fish picture. In due season. What's going to happen in due season? What's going to happen? You're going to have, you know what? You're going to catch your fish. You're going to walk in that blessing. And that's what they saw in that study. All of a sudden, you know what? In due season, you know, those people matured well enough to know that individuals started getting it together as far as their holiness, as far as their acting. And the University of Washington wouldn't call it holiness, but they started to recognize, man, I need to stop doing some selfish things in my life. And they started reaping what they had sown. See, you look at Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs not a great example in a lot of things, but you know what? Great example in that, you know what? Steve Jobs was really in a lot of measurements, a complete failure. How many know his story? Not failure once, over and over and over failure. Matter of fact, you look at a successful, whatever it is, you look at somebody successful in business, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see a road of failure. You look at somebody successful in marriage, you're going to see a road of failure. You look at anyone successful, you know what they all have in common? Failure after failure after failure after failure. Here's the odd thing. They don't see it as a failure. They see it as an opportunity. You know, Edison had done over 1,000 experiments to figure out how the light bulb was going to work before he finally figured it out. And when they asked him, they said, "You know what? How in the world did you come up with? Why didn't you quit?" You know what he said? He said, "Each failure just told me how I wasn't to do it. It just taught me how not to do it." You know, can we just keep our hook in the water? Can we just believe what God says, even though we don't have it in 30 seconds? Even though we don't get it in 3 months? Even though we don't get it in 4 days? Do they have the picture of Granny? Do they have it? Okay, then they don't have it. Granny, at some point in time, we were in the hospital for almost 40 days. If you would have came in the hospital, you would have had every reason to think Granny is going downhill. When we rolled her in the hospital, 2 weeks later, she looked worse than she had ever looked before in her life. She was in so much pain, we just had to give her, what were they giving her? They were just giving her morphine. You know what? There were days that she'd be up for 10 minutes because that's all she could be up. And in those 10 minutes, she was just like so, it was like, ah. Pastor, what did you do? Every day, we broke bread. We took communion. We said, here's what we did. We said, by Jesus' stripes, Granny's healed. That he bore her sickness and her disease. That's what we said. Why? Because that's what the word says. And there's all kinds of people that are like, Pastor, you're just so crazy to be. Listen, I'm not crazy. You know what? If you want to emulate someone, you know what? Emulate people like Smith Wigglesworth or Amy Simple McPherson or who else? Or Catherine Kuhlman or these people who were willing. What did all those people have in common? Here's what they had in common. They believed the word. When God gave them the word, they left with gladness. They said, that is what's going to get me over. That is what's going to heal me. That's what's going to, even the word saved, it doesn't mean born again. Well, it means born again, but it means completely whole, soul, body, and spirit. See, that's what we have. That is what God has called us to. You know, sometimes, how many know this is true? Sometimes we just do things out of habit. How many know we're creatures of habit? So we got this water cooler. Our kitchen is here. And going to kitchen, we have something called a service porch. And I'm not sure exactly what that means, but it's this like introductory to the, it's this room. It's like you're going into the garage, but you're not in the garage yet. That's a service porch. okay? And in the service porch, we had a water cooler. We moved, when we cleaned the garage, we moved the water cooler from the service porch to the dining room. You know how many times I get a glass of water and I will go to the service porch? You know, I'll go to the service porch, and when I go, I'm like, you're so stupid. You know, I'm like, get the glass of water. Oh, yeah, it's not there. And I feel so stupid. You know what's so stupid about it? I've probably done that 10 times. And last night, I did it again. I went there, and the Holy Spirit quickened me and said, teach them that. Because what we do, you know what we do? We walk by sight. We see things. God has spoken to us and say, hey, something's going to change in your life. This is going to happen in your life. I'm going to do something miracle in your life. I'm going to change something in your life. Something's going to happen. And so we believe it. And we're like, yeah, this is awesome. But then through time, we go, oh, I guess I missed it. And we start to back up. We start to rationalize. Well, I guess that wasn't really God. I guess I missed it. And watch this. And then we take the hook out of the water. And we take the hook out of the water. And guess what we get? We get nothing. Amen? Or how many know we get a mess in our life? How many know we get a mess in our life? How many know we get a mess in our life sometimes? Why? Because God is not only trying to bless us, he's trying to keep us from chaos. Keep us from a mess. How many would raise their hand and say, Pastor, I've done that sometimes in my life. I've done things in my life where I knew I shouldn't do it, and now it's like, why did I do that? Here's why. Because you got weary in doing good. I love this story. It's a story, and it's a great story, right in the Word of God. Was I talking about Steve Jobs? Steve Jobs, failure after failure after failure. Oh, of Granny? Show me a picture of Granny. And then somebody help me, because I'm going to go back to Steve Jobs. True story. I don't think this was the worst picture at all. There were days that I would just come in. Oh, well, imagine this. Imagine you being there 8 hours, and for all 8 hours, this is all you see. How about 24 hours? Yeah, my wife was there longer than I. And you start to think, you know what? Maybe, You know the truth is? When she was rolled in, she was bad. But she didn't get better. She got worse. And you start thinking, well, Pastor, what did you do? We just kept on believing. We just kept on speaking the word. And if she'd be up for 20 minutes, if she'd be up for 20 minutes, you know what? We would speak the word over her in that 20 minutes. We'd take those 20 minutes that she was conscious to have communion. And we did that every single day, sometimes more than once a day. You had communion every day? Yeah, what are we saying? We've got to get our minds. We've got to say, you know, I tell you what, I'm not taking this hook out of the water. Why? Because what God said. Oh, there you go. How many know that's a better picture? How many know if you saw her today, that would even be a better picture? What the heck? Who's preaching here? Me or you? Okay, go ahead. Look at that with her tennis shoes on. Amen? Amen? And how did she, watch this. And how did she get, that's a waiting room at Kaiser, is it not? How'd she get there? Did I roll her in a, no, she walked in there. That's why she got her tennis shoes on. See, you know what? There was a time when my back, you probably heard this story, but I'll confess it to you again. How many know we overcame Satan by the word of our testimony? See, we've got to remind people that God's word is true. Amen. We got to remind people, hey, you know what? There's hope. Don't lose hope. My back. You know what? Probably 10 years ago, over 10 years ago. Yeah, because I was working at the grocery store. Over 10 years ago. You know what? My back hurt so much that, you know what, I went to the grocery store. It was hurting so much that I got this six-wheeler. This is flat with six wheels. I put all kinds of ketchup and mustard on there because I didn't want people to know. You know what that was? That was my walker. It was so much pain that I would bend over and I would act like when I would go back to the milk box, I would use that as my walker. I don't know how long it took, you know what? But every single, what would you do? Every morning, I just confess. You know what? By his stripes, I'm healed in Jesus' name. He bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases. You know what? I'd sometimes lift up my foot to put my pants on, and I just feel this, I mean, just a crazy pain. I'll just right up, and I was like, ah. And what's happening? I know what's happening. It's yelling, and it's yelled at you too. See? You're not healed. You're sick. You're sick. You're sick. You're sick. Can I tell you what? You've got to resist the lies of Satan. Oh, but Pastor, that's the truth. That's the truth. No, 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 no. No. Uno momento, por favor. No, no, wait a minute, Jackson. You know, you can be as sincere. You better be careful what you still start judging as the truth. How many ever got lost before? Okay. What happens when you get lost? You're coming down the street. You want to go over there. Everybody say you want to go over there. This is the destination. But you come to the fork of the road, and instead of turning right, you turn what? Now, when you turn left, you're not turning left because you're like, I'm going to go the wrong way. You're not thinking that, are you? What are you thinking? This is the right way. Watch this. See, we've got to let God be true and every man a liar. So you turn left, you should have turned right. You turn left, and every minute, every mile, are you getting closer to the truth or are you getting farther from the truth? You ever been with your spouse? You're like, honey, I think you're going the wrong way. I know where I'm going. Hello, somebody. Come on. See, listen, you don't lack sincerity. You just lack understanding. Listen, I'm not saying, you know what, why would you proclaim that you're healed when obviously you're not? Here's why. Because I want this to have, sorry, my dog ate my Bible. I kind of missed the moment right there. Okay. Here's the thing. I want this to have supremacy in my life. Here's why. I can count on this more than I can count on how I feel. This is more real. This is more real. So let me teach a story. So, and I'm going to go back to Steve Jobs. Let me go back to Steve Jobs, and then I'll get to the centurion. Somebody help me preach this, okay? Where are we going first? Steve Jobs. Then where are we going? Get up here and preach. I'm going to listen to you. No, I'm just okay. Steve Jobs, many of you know, but I'll remind you, Steve Jobs had in his control by far the most powerful computer. The Macintosh was light years. Some of you too young, but there was this thing called DOS, and it was crazy, ridiculous. And Steve Jobs had this thing that was called Macintosh, and all you had to do was point and click. It was so much advanced. What did Steve Jobs do? Well, Steve Jobs, most of you know, he's a perfectionist. So here's where, some people say that he made a mistake. All the software for the Macintosh was controlled by Apple. He wouldn't let anybody design any software. Well, who was the other guy? Bill Gates said, you can build any, I don't care. You can, all kinds of different companies can do stuff for Microsoft, and Microsoft just went crazy. All the whole time, Steve Jobs had an incredibly superior product. And he was, watch this, and he and the little market share that Apple had for the computer industry, it just got less and less and less. He hires the president from PepsiCo to take over, and the president from PepsiCo was now the CEO of Apple, and he just looked at the numbers, and Steve Jobs was so focused on Macintosh that he eventually had to fire Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs is completely, totally, watch this, rejected. Totally rejected. Leaves Apple, don't have time to tell you all the detail, comes back to Apple years later. Watch this. And he comes up with a new product. You know what it was called? It was called, no. It wasn't called an iPhone. It was called an iPod. I mean, remember, iPods, that was like, that's so stupid. You know, now I got an iPhone and everything's there. Exactly. Guess who came up with that? Steve Jobs came up with that too. Watch this. How many know what company has the most cash reserved than any other country in the world? Do you know what it is? It's Apple. How many have gone to an Apple store during Christmas? I don't know why my phone was messed up. My wife, you know what, sets an appointment. Guess when she set the appointment? True story. Tabern, when did you set the appointment?
As soon as I was able to.
Yes. The day after Christmas. Like, what are you doing? I'm trying to walk in the Apple store. The day after Christmas. That's my point. Failure after failure. Steve Jobs was fired from his own company. You know what he said? Years later. Here, I looked it up today. In 2018, I know that's a little past, but it was what I had. In 2018, guess what? Apple computers are only about 10% of the market. See, here's what I'm saying. You know what? God just says to us, you say, Pastor, what's your point in the story? Here's my point. Keep your hook in the water. See, what has created all the wealth for Apple computer? Computers?
No.
Steve Jobs' willingness to get back in the game, to put his hook back in the water. And he went you know what he said? You know what he said to his daughter? Here's what he said to his daughter. He said, you know what? At one conversation, here's what he said to his daughter. He said, honey, I'm going to put 500 to 1,000 songs in your pocket. Is that what he did? And he revolutionized. Is this crazy? I was listening to the word the other day. Amazing. Listening to the word, somebody reading the word to me with an English accent. Amen. Making coffee for my wife all on my iPhone. Say, Pastor, what's your point? Here's your point. Don't grow weary in doing good. Listen, what's the series? Here's the series. The series is don't allow your past mistakes to dictate what your future is. Well, you know what one of your past mistakes is? It's all our past mistakes. We get tired. We give up. We think because it took longer than 4 weeks. You know, you saw Granny. What happened? What did you do? At one point in time, my wife looks at me walking down the hall. She says, what is the matter with you? Why are you walking like an old man? Can I tell you what happened one day? One day I got up. I got dressed. You know what? I was, you know, doing all the stuff I do. You know what? And about 4 o'clock, I recognized something. No pain. When did that happen? I don't know when it happened. You know, Tamara and I were talking about this. You know, when did it happen? You know, I said, you know when it happened? It happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases. And what I needed to do is just say, I got God's word. I'm going to stay on what God, that's what the centurion, we're going to get to the centurion. The centurion, what's he? He's this guy. He's not even part of the Jewish religious culture. Can I tell you what? Sometimes our religious culture tries to suck us back into this unbiblical understanding. Just believe God's word. That now becomes some, it's like, oh, well, that's not theologically correct. How can you get better theology than Jesus? Watch what Jesus does. This guy comes to Jesus, says, hey, my servant's messed up. I forgot what the sickness was. I think it was paralyzed. Anyway, he's really messed up. Can you come and heal him? Jesus starts to come. Actually, somebody told him that. He meets the centurion, and the centurion isn't even at his house. You know what the centurion tells Jesus? Hey, Jesus, you don't have to come to my house. Only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. You don't have to come. Just speak a word. Can I tell you what? If we would just take the word of God and apply it in our life and say, as for me, we're going to serve the Lord. If Jesus said it, then I'm going to believe it. You know, let God be true and every man a liar. I'm tired of listening to all the naysayers, all the people they're going to tell you. Some of them, the most religious people in the country, but they're not godly. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God. Where's the power of God? In the words of God. You know what Jesus says? Jesus says, whoa, stop. And then he looks at his apostles and says, hey guys, trip out on this guy. Even in Israel, even in all of Israel, I haven't seen such faith. What is faith? Faith is trusting God beyond what you can see. Trust in God beyond what you can see. Look at this. Look at John chapter 20. I'll have it up here on the screen. John chapter 20. Start with verse 25. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, this is Thomas. Here's what Thomas says. Unless I see in his hands and his prints of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will, what? Let me just tell you, this is what happened. The women go down, they're told by the angel, Jesus has risen from the dead. They run back to the apostles, and guess what the apostles do? They don't believe. Listen, watch this. How many times did Jesus say, I'm going to die and God is going to raise me from the dead? He told them this over and over and over and over again. Did he not? And the apostles didn't believe. Well, when they finally saw Jesus, how many know then they believed? But guess what? Thomas wasn't there. So now they're telling Thomas, Jesus is real. He's alive. He raised from the dead. Thomas is like, pff, pff. Can I tell you what? Sometimes we can be like that, can we not? God has told us some things. It's clear. Well, you have the same thing Thomas had. What do you have? You have the word of God. What did Thomas have? Thomas had all the words of God. But what does Thomas say? Thomas says, let me tell you what. Unless I feel, unless I see it, you know what? I'm not going to believe it. Watch what Jesus' response to Thomas is. Next verse. The The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." He said to them, "Unless I see it, And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them." See, now this time Thomas is with them. Look at this. Jesus came, the door being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace to you." Next verse. Then said to Thomas, "Reach your finger." How many know God knows what's up in your life? Here, Thomas. Here, Thomas. How many know Jesus might have called him Jackson at that point in time? Okay, just joking. Hey, Thomas, reach in. You know what? And look at my hands. Look at them. And reach your hand and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe. Next verse. And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Next verse. Jesus said to him, "Thomas," watch this, "because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those," listen to me. These people are telling you, you know what, that it's good theology to not be too over the top. Jesus says just the opposite. I pick Jesus. Amen. Amen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet they believe. See, that's the people who are blessed, not the people who are just waiting and waiting. Let me tell you what those people do it all the time. They took their hook out of the water. They say, "No, I've been believing this for 4 months. I believe in this for 8 months. I've been believing that, look, the circumstances are just getting worse. You know what? That's all this stuff is a bunch of hooey. Oh, believe. I've had enough of that. It doesn't work." Well, I tell you what, you're about to catch your no fish. And it doesn't have to do with God. It has to do with your unwillingness to be anxious for nothing. But you're going to take your hook, you're going to take it out of the water, and then, ironically enough, then you're going to say, "Huh, why isn't God doing anything?" Amen? People do this all the time in all kinds of areas in their life. Look at Jesus. How many know Jesus is our example? How many know the Bible says imitate God? How many Jesus is our example? How many know he does this over and over and over again? He goes to Lazarus. Is Lazarus dead? Somebody look at your neighbor and say, "Like a doorknob dead." Amen. This guy's been dead for four days. He's stinking. He is dead. Everybody knows he's dead. You know what? And they've seen him dead. He's dead. But see, can I tell you about Jesus? Jesus walks by faith, not by sight. Jesus says, "I don't do anything, but I see it done, or I hear my Father speak to me, and then I do it." So he has no physical reason to believe that Lazarus is even a little better. And what does he say? He says, "Hey guys, roll away that stone." See, watch how Jesus acts. He believes not because he sees it. He believes because he walks by faith. What's faith? Just trusting God. He's just going to trust God. Did Lazarus walk? Did Lazarus come forth? Was Lazarus okay that day? How many know that was a good day for Lazarus? Amen. When everybody is laughing at Jesus. Why? Because they saw the little girl dead. All of them are laughing at Jesus. Listen, stop being so offended because people laugh at you. Stop being offended. It's like, "Hey, you're laughing at me." Listen, stop being intimidated to believe their unbelief. Stop thinking that their unbelief is good theology. It's bad theology. Amen. Listen, don't argue with me. You want to argue with me? Fine, no problem. Just do me a favor. Bring your Bible when you come. No, really. People will argue, but you know what? But they won't have their Bible with them. Because here's why. Because the Bible won't substantiate their unbelief. See, look at how many examples I'm giving. That's all Jesus did. He walked by faith and not by sight and expects you to do the same. How do things happen if we don't hear it from God and believe his word? He passed the satyr on there. He's like, dude, you're the man. And then he pays attention. Hey, you guys all pay attention to this thing, man. Because he believes when the satyrian gets home, he finds out. I don't know why, because the Bible doesn't tell us. But let's say it took him an hour to walk home. He says, hey, when did the servant get better? I don't know, about an hour ago. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's all Jesus did. Watch this. Jesus, remember when he turned the water to wine? We looked at this in John on Wednesday. He turns the water into wine. What does he have? He's got empty pots. You know what I mean? What does he tell his mom? Mom, what are you thinking? You know what I mean? I can't walk in the supernatural. No, he just, you know what? And he does tell his mom, hey, mom, what are you doing here? Not what are you doing here. What are you thinking? What's going on? You're telling me what to do? Hey, I'm the son of God, and what are you doing? It's not my time yet, mom. What's a mom do? You know what I mean? I mean, I think she's, you know, part Italian. You know what I mean? She's like, ah, you know, I'm like, oh, just do what he tells him to do. You know, she just ignores Jesus and says, hey, servants, you just do what he tells you to do. She's like, okay, what am I going to do? Honor your father and mother. Okay, mom, yeah, let's go. But what does he have? Does he have wine? How much wine does he have? Come on, somebody help me preach this. How much wine does he have? Come on, somebody help me preach this. How much wine does he have? He got nothing. Nada. Nothing. What's he do? What's he put in the jugs? Water. Everybody knows. How many know to get wine? How many know you don't put water in a jug? What does Jesus do? He puts water in a jug. And then he tells them, take some of that water. Take some of it out. Take some of it out. The water? When did the water turn into wine? You're going to learn something. When did the water turn into wine? When did the water turn into wine? Come on, some of you come Wednesday, you already know the answer. When did the water turn into wine?
I don't know.
I don't know. Bible doesn't tell us. Who cares when the water turned into wine? How many know when the guy takes it to the main guy in charge and gives him wine, he's like, oh my goodness, whoa, this is really good wine. How many know this story? See, you know what? Here's the deal. I don't know how long it's going to take for you to catch a fish. I don't know how long it's going to take you to catch a fish. I don't know how long it's going to take you to catch a fish. Here's what I do know. If you take your hook out of the water, you won't catch a fish. What does he do with the fish? When he fed all the 5,000, what's he do? What does he have? He's got close to nothing. One of the apostles like said, oh my goodness, but what is this? Oh, we got somebody. We got a little lad. Oh, yeah. Oh, look. He's got 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Woo! Then he goes, oh, stupid. What is that amongst so many? When Jesus raises that up to God, what did he raise up? Did he raise up enough bread for 5,000 people? No, he didn't. He raised up the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. That's all he had. But you know what he had? He had the word of God. He knew that God was going to bless it. See, you can't see when we had Dr. Kegel here 1 year. And Dr. Kegel had been part of raising people from the dead. And I was like, dude, how do you do that? You know what he told me? He said, here's how you do it. Read Matthew, read Mark, read Luke, and read John. Then when you're done with that, read Matthew, read Mark, read Luke, read John. And when you're done with that, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. See, you know what problem we have? Here's our problem. You know what our problem is? Did I talk to you about the water cooler yet? Did I tell you about the water cooler yet? All those who said no, you weren't listening, so pay attention. That was my way to bust, see who was listening. Okay, just okay. Okay. Did I talk about the water cooler yet? Okay, now we're together. So watch this. You know what happens? We just get used to walking by sight. And Dr. Kegel was saying, no, here's how you're going to overcome that. Start to see how Jesus functions in the world. He functions by hearing God and doing it. Hearing God and doing it. Hearing God. What do you think? What do you think Jesus thought? You know what the Bible says? He was tempted in all ways, yet he didn't sin. What do you think what Jesus thought when God tells him, spit on the ground. Here's a blind guy. Here, spit on the ground and make a mud pie and put it on his face. How many thought it's very possible for God to say,
do what? You kidding me?
The other day, I was going to text someone. And I don't have time enough to go into all the detail. It's not, you know, it doesn't make any difference, the detail. But here's the bottom line. I started to text him, and the Holy Spirit said, don't text him. And I really, really wanted to text this guy. He's a really good friend of mine, and I really wanted to text him. So I started to text him. Don't look at me in that self-righteousness like you've never. It's like, Pastor, you're kidding me? No, just examine your own walk, okay, before you start examining mine. And I started to text him, I didn't even hit the one button, but I. And then here's what I thought. Here's what I thought. You, Pastor, what stopped you? Here's what I thought. God knows more than I know. See, could it be that God knows details of where this guy was at and details of stuff, and it just wasn't the right timing? What am I going to do? I'm going to put the hook in the water. I'm going to leave it in the water. God knows more than me. Don't lean into my own understanding. Just do what God, just all you need to do is have the word of God and then do what he asks you to do. So the next day, went to text him. Holy Spirit said, don't do it. It was easier the second time. I was like, okay. Okay. Then yesterday, I went to text him. The Holy Spirit said, now's okay. See, where would we be? Is it possible? Because here's the thing, and I'll close with this. I can't teach you on how to move on this year if I don't teach you how to put your trust in God and just believe in him over what you see and what you hear and what you think and all this, and watch this. The Bible says, protect your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. You know what Jesus tells the man whose daughter died? He says, when people are yelling in his ear saying, don't bother the master anymore, fear just wants to rush in his daughter. What's the report? Your daughter is dead. How much fearful news are you going to get as a father than your daughter? Your 12-year-old daughter is dead. It is all that wants to rush in. It's all that wants to rush in. You know what? Jesus looks at him and says, hey, right here, dude. Right here. If you will believe, you're going to see your daughter raised from the dead. But you got to stay here, man. Don't listen to them. Listen to me. I love what Peter said. Peter said, where else would we go? You have the words of life. When I was little, growing up in our Baptist church, you know what? We used to sing all these crazy cool songs. And let me tell you why they were crazy cool. Because they predominantly rested. Give me just 1 second. I'm going to sing for them in a minute. I got to be in the right key or I'll be pissed. Guys, get ready for this in the back. They were awesome. Here's why. Because they were predominantly based on, you know what all these songs have in common? Oh, that's part of writer's food. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Okay. What are they? Here's the predominant thing. They all had to do with God saying, with saying the writers of these wonderful hymns are all saying the same thing. Trust in God. Trust in his word. You sing this song. I can hear my dad sing it. You know what? Standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal angels, let the praises sing. Glory in the highest, we will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing. That's how we used to sing it. Standing. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Let me tell you what. That's good theology. That's good theology. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. I dare not trust in sweetest frame, but only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is what? Sinking sand. See, all the other ground, you know what it is? All other ground is sinking sand. And I don't care how many friends you got to tell you that, you know what, your pastor's crazy because he and his wife believe, you know what, in things they don't even see. Sound crazy like Jesus was crazy. Amen. I'm crazy like Isaiah was crazy. I'm crazy like David was crazy. I'm crazy like Noah was crazy. You want to see crazy? You know what this guy is? What's he got? He's got the word of God. What's the word of God? I want you to make, watch this, because it's the same thing for you. I want you, you know what he tells Noah? I want you to build you an ark. See, could it be that what God is telling you is the very thing that's going to deliver you out of your mess? 120 years, Noah's building the ark. And how many days does he finally think, man, I've had enough. You know, I don't even see no rain. Are you kidding me? But how many know there was a day that, you know what, people stopped laughing at Noah. When I was healed by Jesus' stripes, when I would refuse to believe what my body was telling me, there was a day that guess who's laughing? I'm laughing. I'm laughing with joy. I'm laughing with hope. I'm laughing with peace. I'm skipping that day. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Look at these words. Just to take him at his. Let me tell you what. It's sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to rest upon his promise. So you got all kinds of, listen, you got all things going on, and God just says this, here, just relax. Just rest in what I've told you. I will deliver you from, you know what the Bible says? This is one of my favorite passages. It's in Psalms 34. And God says, God will deliver us from all our troubles. Yeah, but listen, it's sweet to trust in Jesus. It's sweet. It's so simple. Just to take him at his word. Just to take him at his word. He said it? Okay. Because I can't tell you what happens. You can, this could happen this instantaneously. You can walk in the peace of God. It surpasses all understanding. All you have to do is, I don't know why you're not worried. You can sing them. You can sing to them. Just say, tis so sweet. Tis so sweet. No, go where you were. Just to rest upon his promise. Just to know. Thus says the Lord. See, that's all you got to do. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I've proven him. Or and or. That's King James to say over and over. Or and or. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to what? Trust him more. Trust him. See, all God says is, all God says, and he says it over in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, and he says it through example. Thank you. After example, after example, after example. And he's given all these examples. And when he sees somebody like the centurion who's doing it right, he says, stop, pay attention to this guy. Because this guy is doing it right. This guy doesn't walk by sight. He walks by faith. And that's what pleases me. That's what get things done. Come here and what God's saying today. I don't like to close a service that we don't give people an opportunity to accept Jesus as your own personal Savior. If that's you, with every head bowed and every eyes closed, if you want to accept Jesus, just raise your hand. I see that one hand. Is anybody else? I see two, three, four. Anyone else? Anyone else? Let's say this together. Say, Jesus, come in my heart. I repent of my sin. I want to make you Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Listen, if you said that simple prayer, we believe you got born again today. Find a good Bible-believing church. I would ask you this. I would say, give us a year. Start coming Sunday and Wednesday and watch what God does. He'll change you from the inside out in a year. I'll guarantee you, the more God you have, the more better your life will be. Amen. Now, before we dismiss, there's some other people who this word was for them. You've walked by sight and not by faith. And you have been not beat up, but you've been corrected. But even in that correction, you feel encouragement. You feel like, man, I can do this. I got this. Yeah, that was for me. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you all over, all over, all over. Put your hand up real high. Let's pray together. Say, Father, I repent of my sin. The times that I did put my trust in you. Come on, say it like you mean it, but I put my trust in other things. I am called to walk by faith and not by sight. It is sweet to trust in Jesus. So Holy Spirit, help me to put my trust fully in you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay. Could you do me a favor? I'm believing that in the next 1 to 2 years, I'm not saying we don't have a great church. I love our church and I love you. But I'm saying in the next year and a half, 2 years, we're going to see a metamorphosis of this church. I want you to start believing it. I want you to continue and invite people to the church. I want you to start believing for me for signs and wonders that people will start to receive everything that God has for them, that marriages, and there have been so many marriages in our church restored, but marriages will continue to be restored. Marriages will like continue and just getting better and better and better and better. That people who are single at the right time will find the right mates. How many believe that? Amen. I said at the right time. Did you hear that part? Amen. That we would start to walk in the fullness of everything that God has for us, whatever that means. I'm believing that our church will be radically transformed, that in a year and 2 years, you will come in this place. Well, maybe you won't even come in this place. Maybe you won't even come in this place. Because maybe we won't be able to come in this place. Amen. Maybe this will be Sozo's new sanctuary. just saying. But I want you to start believing for the supernatural. I want you to start believing for increase. Somebody say increase.
Increase.
Somebody say increase three times.
Increase.
Someone raise your hand and say increase.
Increase.
Father, I thank you. I'm going to bless you. Father, I bless these people. I speak a blessing to everyone who can hear my voice. And even those who are going to watch this on the internet later and are watching us through FaceTime or whatever they're watching this through. Father, I thank you that, Father, we will walk in your blessings. I thank you that we will be encouraged by this word. I thank you that you are bringing, that we are going from faith to faith to glory to glory. We're going to a different level because we are humble and we're willing to be corrected by the Spirit of God. In his precious name I pray, amen.